Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
My wife saw her first porn the other day. Let me rephrase that. My wife caught me watching porn the other day. And the worst way anyone's ever gotten caught watching porn, I guarantee it. 11:30 on a Tuesday afternoon, I'm in the closet. Now, I don't know how I got into it. All of a sudden, I'm in it, though. I'm on my phone scrolling because I broke my governor when I was a kid, and now nothing turns me on. I'm like, give me a tentacle or quicksand, something real. Knock the wind out of someone. Something I can gravitate to.
Knock the wind out of someone.
I hear her walking in the closet, phone in the pocket. She didn't see that. She looks at me and says, what were you just doing on your phone? I'm on my heels. I got this. I go, I was replying to work emails. She goes, really, are you sure you weren't watching a video called No Mercy for My Throat? Now I'm thinking that is really specific for a guest. But I stood my ground. I go, no. And she goes, dickhead, your phone's tethered to the TV in the bedroom.
Born November 3rd in Tampa, Florida, he is a stand-up comedian who has starred in his own Comedy Central special, Comfortably Dumb, his Showtime special, The Machine, and the Netflix special, Secret Time, as well as starring in such shows as Hurt Burt and Burt the Conqueror. His latest Netflix special, Hey Big Boy, is out now. And this Saturday, he'll join the likes of Mark Maron, Bill Burr, Patton Oswalt, Jeff Ross, Dane Cook, and many more to participate in Laugh Aid, a 4-hour live stream that benefits Comedy Gives Back's COVID-19 Emergency Relief Fund. Please welcome, friend of the show, Bert Kreischer.
Mr. Bert Kreischer, how are you?
Adam Sandler and Billy Crystal were just added. Isn't that crazy?
That is insane.
Give back thing is insane. I'm doing it with Bill. It's me and Bill doing it together, so I got nothing to worry about. I'm just going to let Bill talk for 15 minutes.
Think about these names you're talking about. This is going to be a monster. I mean, a monster.
Now, yeah. This is going to be probably the biggest thing I've ever been attached to. I'm only doing it because of Bill. Bill, whoa, holy crap, something just happened out back.
We go
Bill,
look.
They wanted us to do it, and Bill was like, I'll do it, but I only want to do it with Bert.
Hey, hold on. Bert, okay. You just heard a giant crash. You don't want to go check on, like, see if a grill fell on your kid?
Yeah, get your gun light.
Trash truck. It's L.A. Those guys, necessary business. They're doing the Lord's work out there for me.
All right. I just get worried. You know, it's weird. We're all in there weird. It's getting very weird. And let me tell you, out of the gate, you know, everybody listening knows we're huge fans and friends, and so we've been urging people to watch certain comedy specials. So my buddy comes by the land on his motorcycle, stops just to tell me he has turned his dad onto you, and his father and he watched the latest one, Hey Big Boy, and his dad loved it. He goes, he laughed. He'd never heard of you, and he thought it was so fantastic. And then he went to bed, and he kept hearing his dad laugh, and he finally went upstairs and was like, Dad, what are you doing? And he says, Dad opened his bedroom door, couldn't catch his breath, and was laughing so hard and could barely get out. He goes, The Machine! and he had to go there.
That's the best compliment you can get.
Yeah. His old man went upstairs and found more on his own to watch before he went to sleep.
You know what it's like? You know what it's like right now with comedy? It's like being a chef in the apocalypse.
Yeah.
Where everyone's sitting around a campfire, and then you're like, hey, man, I can whip something up with with a Band-Aid, like it's an old David Tell. So I can make some hobo chili. Give me a shoelace, a Mr. Coffee, and an onion.
Yeah, seriously.
And knowing how to cook when no one knows how to cook is because, you know, stuff is serious at this point. I mean, you hear these stories on the news. So it's so nice that, like yesterday, a couple that's friends with Georgia, the kid is, they were walking back from picking up groceries. They had their gas masks on, their gloves. They're walking down the street together, and they stop. They see me and Leanne in the front yard, and they're like, hey, I just want to let you know, by the way, these people do not like me. They do not like me, right?
Right.
They're like, I just want you to let you know I loved your special. It was so nice to, like, tap out from the news cycle and have an hour where we didn't think about anything and just laughed. And I was like, in my head, I was like, you guys laughed at me? Like, I wish you had thought I was funny at the dinner party.
Now I got to know what you did. Like, what did they perceive that you did? What was their problem?
I had a night. I got drunk. I have found out that an Asian person never won a foot race in any Olympics, gold, silver, bronze medal. And so it was a Chinese New Year's party. And I learned that material in sober and then drunk related at a Chinese New Year's party where I was like, I can beat any Asian in a foot race. So it comes off racist. But the truth is, I won. I put my money where my mouth is, and I won. Man, some people get triggered so quickly.
I love it. I see, that's the thing is, and I'm hoping we kind of reset our brains during all this too. Watching enough comedy, you go, hey man, funny's funny, and intent is obvious, and not everything that you think you're supposed to be offended by, you should be offended by. You know, because at this point, it's not natural offense. It's like learned offense.
And I'll tell you what, I hope that it resets itself in the other way. It's like what I find offensive, personally, is, you know, the certain things that seem like their branding is leaning into the pandemic, where it's like quarantine comedy hour, and you're like, hey man, like people are really dying. Like just like if you're gonna do comedy, just do comedy.
Right.
Don't try to sell me a product based on the fact that people are dying. I want my comedy the way I want my sex. I don't want it attached to anything. I don't want it attached. I don't want my wife in the middle of sex being like, the kids are doing great in school. I'm like, no. Right now.
I'm concentrating on a specific body part now. Please do not talk.
Oh, God. But it's been nice. I watched Segura's special.
Hey, let me thank you for that.
Eliza's got a show on right now. And we're doing this big event this weekend. I mean, these podcasts are saving my life. I do Two Bears, One Cave. I do Bill Burt, and I do my podcast. And tap out for an hour and just hang out with the funniest people in the world is like a godsend.
Let me tell you, just doing this radio show has given so we get to stay normal. Like I get up at the same time I do Monday through Friday and come out and do this and you know, do the show, do the structure. And man, it's saving my brain like nobody's business. Like I know I really should play to the company like I'm doing them a favor, but I can't imagine how far gone I'd be if I didn't have this.
Oh, my daughter got upset to me. She goes, we're talking. She wanted to go on a bike ride with her friends. And I was trying to explain to her, you know, why she couldn't, and we ended up letting her go on a bike ride. That was a little strict, but I didn't want her hanging. I didn't know if I could trust her to, like, not stop and hang out and go to someone's house.
Right.
And I was explaining to her, like, how serious things are, and she's, all of a sudden, both my daughters light up, and they're like, you hang out with Tom Segura every once a week. You and him go to a studio and hang out, and you get to hang out. We don't get that, Dad. You hang out with Bill Burr once a week. We don't get that. And I was like, yeah, guys, but I'm making money. I was like, and they're like, no, you're just laughing with your friends. I was like, yeah, I cracked the code, ladies. I have a job where I get paid to hang out with the funniest men in the world and laugh my ass off, and you guys get braces because of it. So shut up and go back to your room.
Yeah, it's going to get way too truthful in that house. That's,
dude, I have laughed so hard in these last podcasts I've done, and I think it's because, and I think that's why people are leaning into comedy. I think you deal with so much seriousness that, like, whatever it is, I'm on the edge of laughing. Like Segura said to me the other day, we're doing a podcast, and he goes, none of us got to do any of our press for our specials, me or him.
Mm-hmm.
So We just, you know, we didn't do like Fallon or any of the late night talk shows. So I said, well, why don't we do Fallon? Why don't we just answer some Fallon questions? And he was like, and then we'll record ourselves answering Fallon questions. And that's like technically us doing Fallon. And he's like, okay. The question was, which of the seven dwarfs are your favorite? I misheard the question, and I thought it was, what are your seven favorite dwarfs? And so I just started listing off little people like Peter Dinklage, Brad Williams, G-Man. And I'm looking at Segura, and he's like, wait, what? And I was like, wait, what did you? And he goes, no, I meant like Sleepy. And I was like, oh.
You're like Bridget the Midget. Yeah.
Yeah. Bridget the Midget. Yeah. I want to sell old school. I like My Big Life.
Hey, thank you for the Tom Segura introduction, because I got to tell you, I was nervous about having him on the show the first time, not because he's not funny. Of course he's funny. But since he and I don't know each other, we've never looked each other in the eye, it can be so awkward with a guy. He doesn't know if I'm a dickhead, right? If I'm your morning show, you know, jack-off guy. And so I was like, oh, I hope he, you know, we can find our common spot to talk. And he was like a shoe, man. He was fantastic. Like, it just, everything fit. He came in and he rolled, and it's clear why you guys are friends. You guys are cut from the same cloth.
Everyone forgets. Everyone gets sketchy with Tom because he is a quieter dude. He is I'm like out there and loud, and it's why we're friends. We have a theory about it. We saw a gay couple walking down the street one time in San Francisco. One guy's in khakis, tucked in white shirt, nice shoes. And he's holding hands with a dude in jean shorts, cowboy boots, no shirt, with a python around his neck. And Tom goes, hey, man, if we were gay, which one would you be? And I'm like, python guy. I was like, did you really have to question that? And he's like, no, I just wanted to hear you say it.
Right. That's
and I
it.
Go, which one are you? And he goes, I'd be khaki guy. He's like, that's why we're friends. Every couple is a khaki and a python. And I was like, really? He was like, yeah, think about it. You and Leanne, Leanne's khakis, your python. He's like, you're python in every relationship. And I was like, oh, wow. And so, like, it's the truth is, like, our personalities, our relationship is very, it's matched in a way that I think most best friends are. Is like, one's a little louder, one's a little quieter, I would argue he's 10 times funnier than me, because when I'm with him, I do nothing but giggle. He makes me giggle harder than any human being in the world.
No, he's got some great dark ideas, thoughts, and that's the thing that throws you off, because he does come off like a very quiet guy, but then he'll say something, you're like, oh, goddamn, that, ooh, like you dug in there, didn't you?
I
love that. It's easy to see why you guys are tight. That's when I sent you that text. I was like, I just finished a special. I was like, man, now everything, you know, when you go, oh, those guys are good friends, like not Hollywood friends, not just comedian friends, but friends. And it's birds of a feather, man. I mean, there's a real similarity, the thread that goes through that.
Yeah, he's I love him. I can't wait to speak at his funeral.
You know what? That's the greatest thing you can ever offer another guy. Like, I would, if God forbid I croak out, I want you to come and just goon the whole thing. I want my parents to cry harder because of the things you're saying.
Oh, we've already talked about it. Who I want to be? I want Rogan to open it up, because he'll, like, you can't have him close. I don't want him to close. I want Segura to close, because, like, when a fat guy cries, everyone cries. So he'll close strong. We've talked about, we've not even joking, we've talked about who's going to outlive the other one. And he's like, I'm definitely going to beat you. I go, Tom, you're missing out on the fact that I've been partying hard for like 37, you know, like 30 years. I've been partying hard. You have not. The second your body's not trained for any adversity. Like, so, like this COVID-19, I go, we should get the antibody test. I guarantee you, I've already gotten COVID. And you haven't gotten it yet. If you got it, you'd melt down. I got that superhuman body that gets it and outbeats it. And he's like, no way. So right now we're trying to find that antibody test.
Yeah, that's it. Well, because you've already stress tested it. You know, like my liver came back, my liver test one time. My doctor looked at me and goes, don't you drink? And I go, yeah, I do a lot. And he goes, you have a perfect liver enzyme. He goes, like the liver of a child. And I'm like, doc, that's because I pushed it all the way till its limits. I've done it, and it's superhuman.
Yeah. Same with my liver.
Yeah.
Same with my liver. I partied hard, and then the doctor every time I get my enzymes test, he's like, your liver's fine. I always go, seriously?
Me too. Yeah, I know. It's not a good sign. It's not a good sign either.
I haven't been drinking or doing drugs like this whole quarantine. So right now I'm like 17 days not boozing. Well, I don't count that entirely because I partied with Rogan. I smoked weed and got drunk with Rogan. But that's one day out of 17, so I don't really count it.
No, that's amazing.
Yeah, so I'm like superhuman right now. I'm running 7-minute miles. I'm like a machine.
I got to do this. I got to get to this because I'm drinking way too much in my time off. And then I've been waiting. I'm like, okay, I want to work all the way through this, and I want the show to stay on the air. But just in case it doesn't, may or may not have stockpiled some hallucinogens for just, you know, I don't have to go to work for 3 days.
Oh, I would love. Segura does an edible every day at like 6 o'clock, 7 o'clock at night. I would love to be able to do an edible, but I can't. My brain can't because I get to a certain hour where it's like if I haven't partied yet, then I don't want to because if it's 8:30, I'm like it's already too late.
That's right. That's right. Yeah, I never start drinking at 8:30, 3:30.
Oh, that's the best time.
Yeah. Yeah. Now you know what? I feel bad for you. I don't want to talk about partying because I feel bad that you're not right now. Is that just because you're home all the time and you're afraid you're going to spin right off the planet?
No, it's just because it's only because I know for a fact that it's like I'd love to talk to a therapist about this. It's mostly about like the moment and like not wanting to miss out on the moment and FOMO and someone saying, "Hey, let's party," and then I get caught up in it. I get caught up in it. And I love the feeling. I love the feeling of 10 a.m. in Vegas.
Yes.
Someone just sitting up, going, "Who wants a Bloody Mary?" And then everyone's eyes shifting and going, "I can go for a Bloody Mary." Like I love that feeling. And so you don't really get that with your family. You're not sitting with your family like, "Let's get wasted and watch 1917." I love being sober. I really do love being sober. I feel amazing every morning.
Sure.
I fall asleep. I sleep perfectly. I don't grind my teeth. I'm loving it. I woke up this morning like a dime. I like popped up out of bed, had a cup of coffee, talked to you guys. I'm getting on the treadmill. I'm going to write a little bit. I got a podcast. I got a coming over. I'm going to shoot some stuff with my cousin. And I love not drinking. The problem is, you know, you get on the road and you're like, and I go in a studio with you guys and you're like, "Do you want a drink?" I'm like, "Hell yeah." Like, I love that energy.
Sure.
And so I don't, it's not really much of a trade off when you're having with your family. You're like, I kind of want to make dinner and sit with everyone and talk to everyone and then go watch a movie. Last night we watched 1917 and my daughter just yelled at the screen in French accents.
And it's what? Like, what? It's just,
I love being home and being sober also. So as soon as this is over, I guarantee you I go off the rails real hard, gain all my weight back, look bloated. Everyone's like, "I'm worried about him." And I'm like,
okay. It's funny because I know exactly what you're talking about. If you don't drink at a certain point, then you're like, "No, man, this means I get a great night's sleep. I'm going to feel great." And you know it. And so that becomes a wonderful thing. The other side is, like you talk about, you're worried about missing a moment. Since I was a kid, and I didn't know this until recently, my mom told me a couple years ago I would never take a nap as a child and fight and fight and fight about it. And she finally was like, "What is your problem? Like, you're normally a good kid. Like, you, what is this problem with napping?" And she said, I looked her in the eye and said, "I just know I'm going to miss something."
Oh, my God. That is that, you know, that defines me.
Yeah.
I am terrified I'm going to miss something. I love people, and I love the energy of people. I love the energy of when someone, like my wife the other day, this is the same day I did Rogan. I come home. I had two drinks. I smoked a joint. I'm like feeling good. I'm going to go take a nap. And then our friends did like a group FaceTime call for happy hour.
Yep.
And I was like, I was laying in bed, and I heard the do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do- help it. It's almost like I'm a junkie for experiences.
Yes. Yes.
That's what made it working for Travel Channel. That's what, when they fired me, that's what made it suck so bad, was like, I knew, like, it was crazy. On Travel Channel, they'd call you every January and go, all right, 13 episodes. Where do you want to go in the world this year?
God.
It was the greatest feeling in the world to literally look at a map and go, Zanzibar. I've always wanted to go to Zanzibar. And they're like, cool, we'll go to Zanzibar. It was like, it was outrageous. And I think that was the hardest part of getting fired from Travel Channel was like, all of a sudden it's like, okay, I'm going to Toledo, you know? Because there's a funny bone there.
But, you know, I can remember little moments like that when I was a kid, like not wanting to nap, or the first time I saved my money, I got a motorcycle, yellow SL70 Honda. And all of a sudden, it dawned on me, I could go places. And, man, I was like, I didn't even need friends. I was like, I'm out. And I just, even if you were riding across the field, you were farther away from your home than you'd ever been before in a new area. And then I got turned 18, and I went, I can go anywhere I want. And it's just...
Oh, my God. I remember that. I remember that feeling of I can go anywhere I want. I remember the feeling of someone saying one time, it was like a Saturday night, and we weren't doing anything, and Ben Seberg said, hey, do you want to get drunk? And I was like, what? He was like, yeah, let's just get drunk and play pool. I was like, well, we're not going out. And he's like, no, you don't need to go anywhere to get drunk. You can just get drunk at home. And I was like, wait, what? We went to a liquor store, and we were like, let's make martinis. By the way, we totally screwed up martinis entirely. We made it with half vermouth, half vodka. It was so bad.
Oof.
But like those feelings, you know, my favorite part in life, my favorite thing in life, without a doubt, is summer camp. Everyone's in bunks. The lights have been out. They've told you to shut up, but everyone's still talking.
Mm-hmm.
That's my favorite moment in life. Everyone's still talking, and you're dying laughing. And it's just one-liners. It's just people tagging the last thing someone said.
Yeah.
And the best is, you like, there's no greater power in the world than not caring, than not giving an F about anything.
Yeah.
And that energy of when the camp counselor's really upset, and you know you really can't get in trouble because he doesn't know whose voice is who, and you're just like, ah, shut up, Jimmy. Your wife's a whore.
So good, dude. It's so true, man. And you never get past it, man. You never get past it. In fact, I feel bad for the people that lose that excitement, that curiosity, that worry that they're going to miss something because they go dead.
Oh, entirely. I think there's a lot of people I know that are struggling with this with this lockdown in LA. A lot of families that are struggling, and it was very tough for me when the special came out. And I think I told you this. I had a really hard time the day of because I didn't know what to do with myself. I'm so used to doing press and lining up a huge press tour and having all these marketing ideas and shooting all these videos. And the fact that I wasn't allowed to leave my house and I wasn't doing press really handcuffed me.
Yeah.
But the beauty in it, the thing I've tethered myself to is that there's bigger things happening. There are people struggling with their health right now. There are people afraid. There are families separated. There are people in isolation and quarantine in hospitals, worried if they're going to come out of it. My problems don't matter. I'm very, very, very blessed to slow it down and have summer camp with my girls. And like, so I'm healthy right now. Everyone's healthy so far, knock on wood. So I'm just literally going, man, do not worry about all these big problems that don't matter anymore. Like, we're going to figure this out. We're going to get on the other side of it. Slow down, stay healthy, stay with your family, and turn it into summer camp.
Yeah.
You know, and I think those people that are still in the treadmill that are going like, but what about?
Yeah, no more. More.
Let's get through this. Let's get on the other side of it so we can all party really hard in June have our summer, you know?
And let me float this to you because you're a very humble cat, but I believe this will be your biggest special ever because you have such an audience that it's like laughing at a funeral. You'll laugh so goddamn hard because it's just so tense. And in the idea that you have this incredible special, and I've seen it time and time again. I cannot tell you how many of my friends have texted me with just Starbucks !!! And I'm like, oh, I know. And I think it's just what a gift you put out into the world unknowingly at a time. You know, this isn't a marketing thing, but I can tell you that I think at a time when it's so necessary, you lobbed the most beautiful bomb into the middle of all this. It's an incredible thing. And I really do mean, I think Segura's the same way. I think comedians now, we're all sitting at home. Netflix is your best friend. Anything you guys can find. And I mean, again, it wasn't lost on me when my buddy said his dad on his own, who'd never heard of you till that night, watched your entire special, went upstairs and found the machine. And just that to me, that's the proof in all of it that you're doing something great for the world right now.
That's the icing on this cake. It's like, you love, I want people that normally come see me, I want them to love the special. I want them to like what I'm continue doing. I like them to see that I'm trying to grow and I'm trying to work harder and smarter and newer and be more original than I was before. But when you hear someone, and I love it, when you hear someone that's never heard of you, they're like, hey man, I just found my new favorite comic. You're like, oh my God. Cause it sounds crazy, but you kind of remember when that happened for you the first time.
Sure.
When you started selling tickets, but to be still doing it and hear that is like, means the world. You're like, oh, so I'm not just like some guy who got lucky and lock down a fan base because I'm an alcoholic.
That's good too.
Do you ever have that dream like it's all gone? I used to have this dream that I'd show up at the station, and you know, this has been going on 26 years. I used to have a dream. I'd literally dream I'd come here, and they'd go, "Hey, come here," and I'd go in, and they'd go, "We like you, but you're not good at this, and we don't know why we've had you, but you know." But with no hard feelings. And I would wake up and just think that really was going to happen one day. Like somehow I've been scamming my way through 26 years of radio and it was going to come to a screaming halt and stop. But I bet I had that dream 25 times in my life.
I had it really happen. You know, this sounds really silly, but the very first time I worked for Travel Channel, like my very first 2 years I worked for them, I made great money. The show, the Bert Conqueror show at the time was like a hit show for them. I got a man cave. It was like I was all of a sudden ingratiated into the family. I did Letterman, and then the next day I got fired from Travel Channel for the first time. I got fired 3 times from them, but the last one stuck. But I remember sitting, and it's really crazy you say that because, you know, it's like in times like that, you find out what kind of person you are and you find out where your heart is. I remember sitting on the corner of my couch that I do my podcast on, same couch, in my man cave, with a cup of coffee out of the David Letterman cup that I just on Letterman. And I sat, it was like a Sunday morning. I found out I got fired and I sat in the room and I thought, man, what a cool life experience. I'm super grateful. Like now it's on to the next chapter. That was amazing. And I was like,
that's smart.
In like a moment of clarity, I go, is this the kind of guy I am? Am I really, like, you hear stories about people that aren't jaded and bitter. Am I really a grateful person? And I was, like, so happy that in the moment of trauma, I was like, I'm grateful. I'm a grateful person. Awesome. Like, I'm not bitter and jaded. I want everyone to succeed. I was like, shut up.
That's great. It's true, though, man. You know what? You can sit and worry. You can look at what you've had, and the secret to happiness, not to get super deep, but the secret to happiness is gratitude. Always going to be gratitude.
Dude, same time. Literally, like, a week later, I got fired from this huge tour that Tom and I were going to do for Live Nation, right?
Right.
And I was talking to Tom on the phone. I can tell you where I was. I was arms on my knees, like elbows on my knees, in my chair behind my desk, staring at the ground on the phone with Tom. And we were talking about how much we were getting paid. So I was like, it stinks, but it's not that much money. And Tom's like, how much are you getting paid? I go, not that much. And then, by the way, Tom's my best friend. We're doing the exact same gig. And he goes, well, I hope they don't fire me. And I said, wait, how much are you getting paid? And he goes, wait, are we not getting paid the same? And I go, I don't know. You tell me how much you are. And Tom goes, I'm getting paid, you know, 25 grand a show. And I was like, wait, what? And he was like, yeah, wait, what are you getting paid? And I said, 2,000. And dude, in that moment, once again, it's amazing where you go, where does your heart land? Like, your best friend is now in the industry 10 times more important than you. Like, it's real. That's a real certifiable moment where you find out you are 10 times less important than your friend. Because they fired me. They didn't even call me. Right. They just fired me. And they didn't fire him. And I swear to God, all I thought was, thank God I have a friend that's honest with me, tells me where I am, and thank God. Like, and I remember going, I'm so happy for him because he was buying a house at the time. And I was like, he's going to do 12 shows. He's going to make enough money to get a down payment. He's going to be able to buy a house. I swear to God, that's where my heart was.
No, that's what makes you great, man. That's it. That's it.
I was like, dude, that's he's going to buy a house. He's going to get to buy a house. And then I was like, I hope his shows don't get canceled because he should get out. Like, it's so crazy that you find out where your heart is in those moments of, like, losing your job, getting fired from the service industry, and then you find those people that are giving back to the community, and you're like, wow, so you really are a good person when no one's looking.
Yeah, that's it. That's it. Well, and the thing I found is that the more I try to push friends forward, the more you try to get more opportunity to talk well of people, the further along I just naturally was lifted. You know, it lifts the whole wave. And again, you don't do it for that, but I've just always found that always coincides.
Yeah, and it's like one of those things where you go, you know, we were joking, and I said, if they found that I had the antibodies for COVID-19, like, what would you do? And you'd be like, and someone was like, well, I'd be like, thank God. And I'd just go out and I'd be like, I'm going to go live my life again. And I was like, oh, I think if you find out you have the antibodies, you have to go and try to help. Like, you got to be like, well, I can't get it, so how do I go and help people, like, for the first responders? And they're like, well, that's not your job. And you're like, no, but I think that's what you're supposed to do, right?
Yeah, of course.
And yeah, and I was like, well, I'll just tell stand-up in the – and I probably a horrible idea of me going into where everyone's on ventilator and being like, so did you guys hear the one about the
– I know. No mercy for your throat?
Yeah. Anyone want to cough up what they got in their lungs? Anyway.
See, this is going to be such a weird time. I cannot wait to see where our conversations land at before the end of this, like right at the goal line where we're just all so wound up. We're going to come out of the gun so hard, so fast. This entire world is going to go. It's going to be like a goddamn global Mardi Gras.
It is. And I think, you know, I think glass half full. I think we have to look at it like the majority of our country is going to be okay. But you got, man, I can't say this enough. You got to pretend like you have it,
yep,
and not, yes, try to infect other people.
Yes.
Because not everyone's turning out okay.
That's right.
And if we can get through this next month, if you can just lock it down for 1 month, and I know that's so hard with making money and whatnot and living hand to mouth, but like if you can get through this 1 month, then we're going to be fine. We're going to have a great summer.
Yep. No, it's true. And can you imagine how great live music is going to sound again?
I can't wait to get on a boat. I want to get on a boat. I want to go. I can't wait to go to a theater and hear 1,000, 2,000 people laugh and not be afraid to sit shoulder to shoulder, you know?
Right. No, no doubt about it. No doubt. Listen, Bert, everybody, don't forget, there's lots of things to do with your time. Go to Netflix, find Bert special, Tom Segura specials. Don't forget to watch. This is going to be fantastic. It's comedygivesback.com. Comedygivesback.com is where we can get all the information on Laugh Aid. And it's going to be fantastic. Plus, you've got the podcast, Two Bears, One Cave. Thank you, by the way. Very nice for the shout-out the other day on that with Tom. That's wonderful, and thank you. Don't forget about the Bert cast. And don't forget Bert.com. I'm going to keep just reminding everybody how they can find you and take a little break from the news cycle.
Yeah, I'm telling you, I'm trying to put out as much content that is COVID-free so that if you're looking for a tap-out like I am, then you can find it. Either at my Instagram, like I put a very flattering picture of myself on Instagram and Twitter yesterday. And so I'm still just a comic. I'm not a news cycle guy. I'm not Chris Cuomo. I'm just Bert Kreischer.
Oh, my God. Dude, we broke out. I forgot to tell you, we broke out the Red Ryder BB gun yesterday, and we were shooting beer cans out at Disgraceland, and it was one of the nicest 45 minutes I've had in a very long time. I was straight 7 years old again.
Oh, I got a pellet gun. I was hunting rats the other night.
These took two different directions, man, didn't they? Like, I'm taking some. I'm going to do a little bloodletting this evening. Did you get any rats?
No. As soon as I have the big flashlight that you have, mm-hmm, it lights up the tree and they all take off. So you got to be able to see them in the dark.
You need, I have one. I want to, you know what, I'll mail you one to borrow. Let me see if I can get it back. But I have a night vision. I have a thermal imager.
Really?
Yeah. And it's a mono, and you just hold it up to your eye, and you adjust it. But you can see mice jumping on your lawn, and they're bright white. You can change the palettes so they're red, but the whole image, you can see through the dark anything, varying degrees of temperature.
Wow, that's what I'm talking about.
Yeah, yeah. They're FLIR, forward-looking imaging. So I can't remember, but it's FLIR. Another friend of mine's got it. He was borrowing it right now, but I'll see if he can bring it by, and then I'll send it to you for a while. You can just send it back later.
Text me what it's called. I'll just buy one.
All right. I'll see if they can. I will. I'll text it all to you, man. It's but dude, you'll love this thing. You'll take it on tour with you. I take it everywhere with me, all around the world, because it changes all kinds of craziness.
Oh, perfect. Perfect. Send it to me now.
All right, brother. I will. All right. Listen, take care. Tell Tom again, thank you for coming by. We'll have him back on the show as soon as possible, and I'll be listening to the podcast.
Of course. I love you guys.
Love you, brother. Yeah. See, I'm not as crazy as you thought. Or as individual a weirdo. There are other weirdos like us out there.
I like his brand of weirdo.
Yeah,
I can't thank him enough.
You see, that's the proper response when you tell somebody you are into thermal imaging. not the look of what I get around this business. That's the proper response.
Sorry, my face isn't as excited as you want it to be.
I do love him. By the way, if you haven't seen his specials, find it. Find it. Give it
all
to others.
Them.
Send it to others. Send links to others. Urge others to watch, because it's not, and that's not to support Bert. I always will support him, but because I'm telling you, it's what a great way to pass the time. And then isn't it always cool when you turn your friend onto something?
Mm-hmm.
Like either it's a great band or a great comedian or great whatever. And you're like, have you ever had an Uncrustable? You know what I mean? Like
cough into the wall, Ian.
Yeah. But when you do, like, again, I can't tell. You've seen the special, so you know why. The word Starbucks? Ooh. watch it for yourself. I shan't ruin it, but a goddamn.
I have shared it on Facebook, Instagram, face-to-face with the distance between. I can't tell people enough. The world needs it right now. Not even just the States. The world needs
sure.
it. Because it may be inappropriate at times. Good. Get some of that.
Super inappropriate.
Laugh your ass off.
Let me take a break, you guys. All right, hold on a second. It's nice to hear him. Don't forget Secret Time, Comfortably Dumb, The Machine, all on Netflix. I believe you can get all those. Go to Bert, B-E-R-T, B-E-R-T, B-E-R-T .com. Find him on Instagram. Don't forget about the Bertcast or Two Bears, One Cave with Tom Segura, and, of course, the Bill Burr. Jesus Christ, man. I really don't work very hard. When you just realize all he's doing in quarantine.
This is the Johnny Dare Morning Show.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.